What if I was outside of Home Depot because I like to do some work around the house, not dressed in a suit? Would I be a target of ICE enforcement?
Why, yes, you would, Senator Padilla. Better not go to Home Depot.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globes every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites, Blanketing Planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Your mileage, of course, may vary. Welcome to the Bradcast. Delighted to have you here. It has been, and even more delighted by the fact that by Trump-era standards, it's actually been a relatively quiet weekend for a very happy change. Am I right about that, Desiree?
Yes. Relative, of course, is quite relative.
Yes, by Donald Trump standards. That is, of course, Desi Doyen, our producer. And so since In the Bargain, it has been a month or so, which is like a year or two in Trump time, since we were able to open up the phones to our listeners here in Southern California, in our live listening area, and those listening live anywhere across the planet via kpfk.org. Well, I'd like to try to make up for that today, as I have pledged to try and keep the lines of communication open here over your public airwaves in the second Trump nightmare slash term, as long as we still have access to those airwaves. One of the few things that Donald Trump has yet to rob from we, the people. 818-985-5735 is our phone number if you're listening live today. 818-985-KPFK, really on anything you'd like to talk about. But as last time we opened the phones, we began to hear murmurs, at least, from at least one Trump voter who said that though he voted for Trump three times, he had finally come to believe that he had been duped by Donald Trump, in that case regarding Trump's foreign policy and his allowing Benjamin Netanyahu to sort of run wild in the Middle East. But that isn't all that's turning MAGA folks against Donald Trump right now. Many have become concerned after hearing that they may lose health care under Trump's recently signed so-called Big Beautiful Bill that will slash more than $1 trillion from Medicaid and nutritional food support via the SNAP program, causing tens of millions to lose access to both in the years ahead. Others in just recent days are sort of throwing a fit. Other Trump supporters throwing a fit that Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi and FBI Director Kash Patel suddenly announced last week that, what? There is no Jeffrey Epstein client list. What are you talking about? Also, he wasn't murdered in jail, and that they will not be releasing any more evidence in the case that has roiled MAGA for years. Thank you very much, because they were led to believe, MAGA had, that it was a massive cover-up for a massive pedophilia ring run by Democrats, when in fact, as it turns out, one of the closest known friends of Jeffrey Epstein over the years was actually, Donald Trump, who many are now accusing of participating in a cover-up of the entire matter. So that's kind of fun to watch. Bring your popcorn. And then there is the huge change in how many Americans are now viewing Donald Trump when it comes to what had been one of his strongest issues. Immigration. Well, if you would like, we'll talk about that. If you'd like to discuss any of that or really anything else, 818-985-5735. Or if you are listening later, of course, you can always email me via brandcast@brandblog.com or tweet me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky at the Brad Blog. But allow me to start here. This from Oregon Public Radio over the weekend. A Portland area mother and her four U.S.-born children have been detained by federal immigration officials for 2 weeks now, an apparent violation of federal policy that limits how long people can be detained. Detainees are supposed to spend no more than 72 hours in detention. And let me note this point from the top. Immigration detention is different than prison. It is not supposed to be prison. It is not supposed to be punitive. It is supposed to be a temporary way station, a holding stop on the way towards settling immigration questions, asylum claims, and so forth. No, it is not supposed to be a concentration camp with miserable conditions for the detainees surrounded by alligators. It is meant as a brief hold while immigration status is worked out, immigration hearings are scheduled and held, etc. So please keep that in mind when you are hearing story after story about the hell holes that immigrants are being detained in as these new places, these new concentration camps sprout up around the country, and Trump world celebrates them with, you know, alligator Alcatraz merchandise, etc. Back to our story. Kenia Jacqueline Merlos, her 9-year-old triplets, and her 7-year-old son, all four of those children, U.S. citizens, have been detained now for more than 2 weeks in one of these detention centers since June 28. Merlos, her kids, and her mother had traveled to Peace Arch State Park near the U.S.-Canada border when U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents took them into custody, apparently for the crime of visiting a state park. Oh, you know, the worst of the worst, right? Her husband was also detained days later and is currently being held at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Processing Center in Tacoma, Washington. And the mother and the father have had limited access to attorneys all the while and have not been able to be in contact with each other at all, reportedly. That is what your tax dollars are paying for, as for U.S. citizen children remain in detention. U.S. Rep. Maxine Dexter confirmed the presence of Merlos and her children at that detention center near Ferndale, Washington, by visiting the facility last Thursday. The congresswoman said, however, she was unable to speak with family, but did enter the facility and was allowed to see them, if not speak with them. Customs and Border Protection rules say that detained people should be in custody for a maximum of 72 hours. But as you know, detentions have dragged on far longer in many cases. Congresswoman Dexter, who held a press conference Friday near the facility where Merlos and her children are being held, said that while the family seemed to be in good condition, her criticism were aimed at Trump administration's deportation plans. Quote, Trump said he would go after the worst of the worst. Instead, his immigration machine is abducting Oregonians without cause, including for U.S. citizen children in my district, the congresswoman said. The story of Merlos and her U.S. citizen children is just one of many such cases, of course. Oregon Public Radio also reported on a pregnant mother and her partner who in May were detained with four children at a facility in Blaine, Washington, for more than 3 weeks at the time. I'm no math expert, but I'm pretty sure that's more than 72 hours. There are other high-profile cases, outrageous stories that continue to trickle out every day and all over the country. And Americans who previously supported Donald Trump's hardline status on immigration seem to be having serious second thoughts now that they see those policies in action, now that it's become clear he was serious about mass deportations, but not only for the worst of the worst criminals, as he vowed over and over, but really for anyone who might be in this country unlawfully in any way, shape, or form, and their children, anyone who looks like they might be in this country unlawfully, and yes, even those who are in this country perfectly lawfully, from green card holders to student visa holders to even naturalized citizens who Trump has been threatening to denaturalize and deport. All of those folks are at risk, and it is not going over well with Americans. Americans, by the way, of all political stripes. Just months after President Donald Trump returned to office amid a wave of anti-immigration sentiment, the AP reported on Friday, the share of U.S. adults saying that immigration is a, quote, good thing for the country has jumped substantially, including among Republicans, according to new Gallup polling, which I will note here, has been rather conservative in its polling numbers in recent years. So this should be seen as good news for those of us who care about truth, justice, and the American way. But maybe we'll talk about Superman later in the week. About 8 in 10 Americans, almost 80%, say that immigration is, quote, a good thing for the country today. That is a 15% increase from just a year ago and a high point in the nearly 25-year trend recorded by Gallup. Yes, Donald Trump has succeeded in making immigration more popular in his first 6 months of office. Well done, Donald. Only about 2 in 10 U.S. adults say that immigration is a bad thing right now. That is also down from 32% last year. That's a big drop. In general, Americans' views of immigration policies have shifted dramatically in the last year, according to the Gallup data, including among Republicans, who have grown more supportive of pathways to citizenship for people in the country illegally. It's kind of amazing. Americans' more positive view on immigration is driven primarily, according to Gallup, by a shift among Republicans and independents. About two-thirds of Republicans now, about 65%, say that immigration and immigrants are a, quote, good thing for the country. That is up 65%. That is up from just under 40% last year. And independents have moved even further in these few months, from about two-thirds last year who saw it as a good thing to 80% this year who now see immigration as a good thing, who believe that it's good for the country. This is a sea change from where we were less than 1 year ago when Trump was elected to a second term, based largely on his now wildly unpopular positions on immigration, detention, deportation, etc. Democrats have pretty much maintained their otherwise positive view of immigration over the last few years. So this is a change in how Republicans and independents see what it is that Trump is doing, and they do not like it. Are you one of them? Are you one of those Republicans or independents who has changed your view on Donald Trump in recent weeks or months for any reason? If so, I'd love to hear from you today, and give me a call. Let me know why. 818-985-5735. While Republicans still do not wish to see more immigration, the polls suggest that Republicans' sharp anti-immigrant views highlighted before the November election, which helped return Trump to the White House, have largely faded. The share of Republicans saying immigration should be decreased dropped from a high of 88% right before the election to just 48% now in the past year. 40% drop. That's a plummet. There are also signs in the Gallup polling that Republicans have become more supportive of pathways to citizenship for immigrants in the country illegally and are more likely to see benefits from immigration at odds with the Trump administration's priorities. Funny what happens when you actually focus on an issue, excuse me, and inform Americans about the cost of those issues, when they understand beyond the sound bites and beyond the lies on Fox News that, dangerous criminals are overrunning our country.
And when people see what it looks like in reality, they're not really getting rid of criminals. They're actually going after hardworking people who are members of their community, some who have been members of their community in good standing for decades and are beloved. I think it also doesn't help that they're seeing U.S. citizen children of undocumented people being detained. And people don't like it when you detain U.S. citizens.
Almost 9 in 10 U.S. adults favor a pathway to citizenship now. 9 out of 10 citizenship for immigrants who were brought to the U.S. illegally as children. They comprise many of the people being rounded up in recent months by Trump's ICE goons. They're now older. They've been here since they've been children. They know no other country other than this one, and yet they are being rounded up and threatened to be sent away. Many of them are being sent away. And nearly as many as 9 in 10 say they favor a path to citizenship for all immigrants in the country now, as long as they meet certain requirements. That increased support for pathways to citizenship, again, largely comes from Republicans. About 6 in 10 of whom now support that, which is up from about 45% last year. Support was already very high among both independents and Democrats for that. So I think things are changing faster against Donald Trump and his policies than is currently being picked up by the larger corporate media. It could be wish casting, but we'll see. But I think a lot of it is, in fact, due to things like his brutal immigration policies and much more. But that's just a sense that I have, that polls like this seem to underscore, even as we see Trump's national approval ratings overall continue to also fall deeper underwater, with seemingly each passing week in poll after poll. But immigration in particular does seem to be a point where his numbers are really softening as people actually see his policies in practice. And that's important because it was one of his strongest issues. He's already plummeted on the economic issues. You may disagree. If so, give me a call. 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. And where Trump once, and presumably still does, have considerable support among religious communities for reasons that I could not even begin to explain, you can call and explain that to me. I'd really appreciate that at 818-985-5735. But even that seems like it now could be threatened due to some very public responses from the religious community to his actions of late. After the Gallup polling, so this isn't even figured into those Gallup numbers. Some of these come from just recent days, in this case from Catholic officials. NBC6 in Miami is reporting that the Archdiocese of Miami is condemning the controversial migrant detention facility in Florida, which state officials have dubbed Alligator Alcatraz, calling it, quote, unbecoming of public officials and, quote, corrosive of the common good. In a strongly worded statement posted to the Archdiocese website, Archbishop Archbishop Thomas Wensky criticized both the conditions at the remote detention site in the Everglades and the rhetoric surrounding it. He wrote, quote, "It is unbecoming of public officials and corrosive of the common good to speak of the deterrence value of alligators and pythons at the Collier Dade facility." This was the Archbishop writing over the weekend. Wensky's statement also highlighted humanitarian concerns, noting the isolation of the facility from medical care and the vulnerability of this supposedly temporary tent structure to Florida's harsher summer weather and to hurricane threats. What happens when a hurricane rolls in over alligator Alcatraz? Meanwhile, a group of Democratic state lawmakers have filed a lawsuit against the state of Florida after being denied entry to that site last week. The complaint argues they are legally entitled to, quote, immediate and unannounced access to the facility. The Miami-Dade Mayor Daniela Levine Cava has also requested access to the site, emphasizing that the property is located on county land. She's waiting for a response. The legal battle and the public outcry have added new urgency to the debate over immigration enforcement in Florida and the use of isolated, heavily guarded detention sites, according to NBC in Miami. On this side of the country, we out here in California, another Catholic archbishop is taking an even more direct stand on behalf of immigrants in the wake of an at times brutal and often seemingly random crackdown on suspected unlawful immigrants out here in and around Los Angeles. San Bernardino Bishop Alberto Rojas, who leads more than 1.5 million Catholics in Southern California, has formally excused parishioners now from their weekly obligations to attend Mass following immigration detentions on two parish properties in the diocese. The dispensation is a move usually reserved for rare and extenuating circumstances like the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. But Rojas says it's necessary now because the fear of being apprehended and possibly deported has swept communities, including now even Catholic churches. Quote, "There is a real fear gripping many in our parish communities that if they venture out into any kind of public setting, they will be arrested by immigration officers," said Rojas in a statement last week. "Sadly, that includes attending Mass," he said. "The recent apprehension of individuals at two of our Catholic parishes has only intensified that fear at our Catholic parishes." He said, "I want our immigrant communities to know that their church stands with them and walks with them through this trying time. Save for a serious reason, Catholics are obligated by their faith to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation." In May, the Diocese of Nashville in Tennessee issued a similar statement following immigration enforcement actions in the area, excusing those fearful of attending Mass from their holy obligation to do so. Rojas, the archbishop out here, is an immigrant himself. He was born in Mexico. He's been consistent in his support of immigrants and said when he assumed this role that it would be one of his top priorities. Last month, as federal agents made arrests and the federal government deployed the National Guard amid protests here in L.A., Rojas issued a statement calling out federal agents entering parish properties and, quote, "seizing several people," unquote, creating an environment of fear and confusion. Quote, "It is not of the gospel of Jesus Christ which guides us in all that we do," he said. "I ask all political leaders and decision makers to please reconsider these tactics immediately in favor of an approach that respects human rights and human dignity and builds towards a more lasting, comprehensive reform of our immigration system." Well, I guess the bishop is one of those, you know, woke liberal squishes, I guess, who believes that, you know, kindness to strangers and those who are visitors not in their homelands, are also deserving of mercy under the gospel of, yes, Jesus.
And are they still wearing all those Republicans who don't like to have immigrants and don't seem to want to follow the gospel? Are they all still wearing their what would Jesus do rubber band bracelets?
Oh, not lately. Better to leave that at home these days, I'm guessing. Again, maybe I'm wrong. If so, these are your airways, and you can tell me as much. 818-985-5735. I promise to be kind, to not bite, as long as you're kind. And, you know, you can bite if you want. Members of local parishes who are in the U.S. without documents have made contributions, positive contributions, to their communities, quote, with no other issues than their legal status, the bishop pointed out. Most of them are here because they wanted to save their families, and they had no other option. Bishop Rojas says he knows these people would be in church, but for the threat to their safety and their family unity. He said, with all the worries and anxiety that they are feeling, I wanted to take away for a time the burden that they may be feeling from not being able to fulfill this commitment to which our Catholic faithful are called. Pastor Omar Coronado with Inland Congregations United for Change called the bishop's decree an extraordinary act of moral courage and pastoral care. At a time when so many families are living in fear and uncertainty, the bishop's voice offers not just protection but hope, he said in a statement. We're deeply grateful for his leadership in reminding us faith is not meant to hide behind walls, but to stand with the vulnerable. Are you one of those vulnerable folks out there who are feeling vulnerable and frightened today? Well, we got your back here at the broadcast in as much as we can. We also would love to hear from you and what you are going through right now with your family. 818-985-5735. The Diocese of San Bernardino, by the way, is the fifth largest Catholic diocese in the nation. It's the second largest in California, next to the Archdiocese of L.A. A spokesperson for the Diocese of Orange County said that they have in recent weeks taken steps to support the immigrant community as well, asking priests to bring communion and celebrate Mass in the homes of those who are fearful of leaving their houses right now. Parishes under the Archdiocese of L.A., the largest in the state, are also continuing to, quote, provide outreach to families and individuals that have been impacted. But news broke late on Friday last week that might help the entire community here in Southern California to breathe a little bit easier, a little bit, at least for the moment. After weeks, months now, frankly, on edge, a federal judge on Friday ordered the Trump administration to halt indiscriminate immigration stops and arrests in seven different California counties, including here in Los Angeles. Immigrant advocacy groups filed a lawsuit last week accusing the Trump administration of systemically targeting brown-skinned people in Southern California during its immigration crackdown. The plaintiffs include three detained immigrants and two U.S. citizens, one of whom was held despite showing agents his identification. So if you think it's just other people, if you think it's just those others, and you don't have to worry, I might suggest you think again. Yes, U.S. citizens, children, and adults are being rounded up by these indiscriminate raids. The filing in the U.S. District Court asked the judge to block the administration from using what they call unconstitutional tactics in their roundups, where, as immigrant advocates have charged, they accuse the federal immigration officials of detaining people based on their race, period, carrying out warrantless arrests, denying detainees access to legal counsel at a holding facility in downtown L.A., Judge Miami Frimpong issued the emergency orders on Friday, which are temporary measures, while the lawsuit proceeds, the day after a hearing during which advocacy groups argued that the government was violating the Fourth and Fifth Amendments of the Constitution. She wrote in the order that there was a, quote, mountain of evidence presented in the case that the federal government was committing the violations that they were being accused of. She ruled that ICE was conducting, quote, roving patrols of the city and coordinating arrests without, quote, reasonable suspicion that their targets were in the country illegally. Rather, she ruled they're relying on improper factors such as race and accent and the line of work that they do. The factors that defendants appear to rely on for reasonable suspicion, she said, seem no more indicative of illegal presence in the country than of legal presence in the country, such as working at a low-wage job, such as car wash attendants and day laborers, the judge wrote in her 52-page opinion. That, she said, is insufficient and impermissible. The White House responded quickly to the ruling late on Friday, charging, quote, no federal judge has the authority to dictate immigration policy. They said, we expect this gross overstep and judicial authority to be corrected on appeal. Of course, though, the majority of U.S. district court judges and appellate court judges have found against the administration in such cases over and over again ever since the 34-time felon returned to office in January. But many of those rulings have since been overturned by the corrupt activist right-wing Supreme Court majority, where three judges that Trump appointed himself now sit and frequently take his side in these matters. Immigrant Latino communities across Southern California have been on edge, of course, for weeks since the Trump administration stepped up arrests at car washes and Home Depot parking lots, immigration courts, a range of businesses, and yes, even on church grounds. The judge's order also applies to Ventura County, where busloads of workers were detained last Thursday while the court hearing was underway after federal agents descended on a cannabis farm, leading to clashes with protesters, multiple injuries. One farm worker ultimately died after falling 30 feet while trying to evade ICE officials. According to the ACLU, the recent wave of immigration enforcement has been driven by an arbitrary arrest quota and based on broad stereotypes based on race or ethnicity, not on actual reasonable suspicion. When detaining the three day laborers who are plaintiffs in the lawsuit, all immigration agents knew about them was that they were Latino and they were dressed in construction worker clothes. Apparently, that was enough for ICE to snatch them up and throw them into detention. That was all it took, according to the lawsuit filing. It goes on to describe raids at swap meets, Home Depots, where witnesses say federal agents just grabbed anyone who, quote, looked Hispanic. After the ruling, Tricia McLaughlin, the Assistant Secretary of the Department of DHS, she condemned the ruling by the judge, saying, quote, America's brave men and women are removing murderers, MS-13 gang members, pedophiles, rapists, truly the worst of the worst from Golden State communities. Does anyone believe that anymore? She charged that, quote, a district judge is undermining the will of the American people. But let me remind you that, A, that is not the case, according to the recent Gallup polling I shared at the top of this segment. In fact, it is not even the case, according to the November election results, where more Americans voted against Donald Trump and his policies than those who voted for him. Don't forget that. He is not carrying out the will of the American people. He is carrying out the will of a minority of Americans, a minority that is seemingly shrinking by the week. Are you in that minority? Were you previously, but no longer? 818-985-5735. What happened to Roland? I was going to go to him. Did we lose him?
Yes, unfortunately, we did lose him.
Give us a call back, okay. Roland. Because I'd love to hear from you, even if you were never in that minority, but especially if you were and are no longer. Trump's immigration czar, Tom Holman, was unfortunately not asked about, whether they were just going into pulling out people from tow yards, and even if they were U.S. citizens. In one case, everyone at a car wash except for two white workers according to a declaration by one of the workers, was rounded up. If race was not involved in the roundup, why did that happen? As the White House is claiming. Trump's immigration czar, Tom Holman, he was not asked about that point when he was asked about the court's ruling on Fox News that night.
Look, people need to understand, ICE officers and Border Patrol, they don't need probable cause to walk up somebody, briefly detain them, and question them. They just need the totality of the circumstances, right? They just got through the observation, you know, get articulable facts based on their location, their occupation, their physical appearance, their actions. Like a uniformed Border Patrol agent walks up to them at for instance, a Home Depot. And they got all these articulable facts, plus the person walks away or runs away. Agents are trained. What they need to detain somebody temporarily and question them. It's not probable cause. It's reasonable suspicion.
So it's not reasonable. It doesn't sound like any of that. It's just, well, their physical appearance. That counts. They look like they're trouble. California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla, the state's first Hispanic senator, who was himself tackled and thrown to the ground after attempting to ask a simple question of the DH secretary, Kristi Noem, during a news conference just a few weeks ago. He responded this way to the judge's ruling on Friday.
Holman has said it very clearly in other interviews. They're not even asking for significant findings to detain people. They're going based on appearance, his words, not mine, based on occupation, his words, not mine, based on accents, physical appearance. What if I was outside a Home Depot, because I like to do some work around the house, not dressed in a suit, would I be a target of ICE enforcement under Tom Holman? Probably. And it's just wrong. It's not just due process rights that have become the concern, but racial profiling. When federal agents involved in immigration enforcement are using racial profiling, they're not enforcing the law. They are breaking it.
So at least in the meantime, yes, they are breaking the law, according to the judge. We'll see how long it is before Trump appeals that on up to the Supreme Court. We'll see how long it is before they simply violate the judge's order. But for now, maybe we get to breathe a little bit easier here in Southern California. We'll find out. Let me take a break here. We'll come back, hopefully, with your calls on any of this or anything else in your mind right now. 818-985-5735. These are your public airwaves. Like to remind everyone of that. But have you had a change of heart one way or another about the Trump regime since seeing how he is actually carrying out his campaign threats? Because a lot of Americans seem to be having a change of heart. 818-985-KPFK. As noted, we'll talk about anything else you'd like. From Trump's promise on Monday to send defensive Patriot missiles to Ukraine as he slowly figures out that his buddy Vladimir Putin was playing him all along, to, MAGA furious over the Trump's decision to not release the Epstein files or anything else, or his cuts to the National Weather Service that he is standing by despite flash flooding in four different states last week in the north, the south, the east, the west, despite the fact that the lodge at the Grand Canyon on the North Rim burned down last night. Anything. Even while Donald Trump is removing climate data from the federal government website. 818-985-KPFK. 818-985-5735. I'd love to hear from you. The lines are yours over our public airwaves. Right after a quick break, I'm Brad Friedman, and this is The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and The Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll.
Yeah, well, Don't love watching them roll that much, not these days. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Give us a call, 818-985-5735, as America is getting a real lesson in the real cost and the real benefits of immigration in this nation of immigrants. Let me go to Carlos in Thousand Oaks. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the Brandcast.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, yes. I don't know how to, I'm adjusting my Bluetooth here.
Okay.
Hey, yes, I have a question regarding what happens to people's property. I mean, one of our national standards is to protect, you know, people's property, and it seems like it's being taken away. So when they get deported, what rights do they have to get their property back?
So you're talking about the property of people who are rounded up by the ICE goons and detained. What happens to their houses, their homes, their cars, etc.?
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have bank accounts, they may have investments, they may have everything that a U.S. citizen would have. You know, being here, not knowing that, you know, not realizing they're fully, or that they are, quote unquote, illegal, you know. I don't quite get how we keep on transferring public property into private hands.
Public property into private hands, or private hands into public, private property into public hands?
Well, it seems like we're taking private property and transferring it into public hands.
Right,
but when
right.
I used to work for the federal government, when I worked for the Naval Energy and Environmental Support Activity, we were able to get Puerto Rico up and running in 2 weeks after a hurricane knocked them out.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, they used to supply us with our pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
How much does what's the per diem for each one of these government goons who they're going completely against what I used to work for the Navy, for defending the country, for everything. They're going 100% against everything I've ever learned.
Yep. I hear you, Carlos. And frankly,
they're stealing our property.
I wish I had an answer to your question about what happens to the property of detained people. I mean, the Trump administration considers them criminal. They will tell you that they have violated the law simply by walking across the border and presenting themselves to a border official and seeking asylum. That is not a crime. But those people, when it comes to the Trump administration, they're all considered to be lawbreakers. That is criminal activity enough for them to deport them. That qualifies them as being the worst of the worst, according to the Trump administration. What happens to their property?
In other words, the authorities have the right to confiscate all of their property as if they were growing, a one weed plant and 200 acres of corn, like back during the Reagan administration.
Carlos, I don't know the answer to your question. I think it's a good one, and I'll throw it out there in case we've got attorneys, immigration attorneys, criminal attorneys listening who might know the answer to that question.
Please,
I think it's a good one. Thank you, Carlos.
Because COVID killed a lot of people. 2008 recession took a lot of people and threw them on the street, and I wonder why we have so many homeless. And what is the Republican answers? Fentanyl?
give us a call if you got an answer. Thanks, Carlos. I appreciate that call. 818-985-KPFK. Yes, Des?
Jump in real quick. And at the cannabis farm raid last week in Ventura, California, as I understand it, one of the women whose husband was detained, and I believe he was a U.S. citizen, but I might, basically she said that they had no idea what happened to him. She went and found his truck with the window bashed out of it and him and his stuff gone.
And she may or may not have had the keys to do anything with it. If you're an immigration attorney out there and you know, or just a criminal law person, and know what happens when somebody gets snatched off the streets and deported, what happens to their house, what happens to their pets, their animals, 818-985-5735. Let me go to John in Long Beach. Hey, John, welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi, this is John.
Hey, Don. This is Brad.
Hey,
how can I help you, sir?
How are you? Good.
You know, one of the things I notice is they go after everybody in the fields, but how about going after the people that hire them?
Oh.
When are the corporations going to get their due?
Oh, there's an idea. You mean the people who hire these hundreds and thousands, these millions of, as Trump calls them, illegal migrants. Those people who hire them, when are they going to go against those people? Yeah. Don't hold your breath, John, but you make an excellent point, sir.
You know, there's a couple of incidences that have happened where it's the last day of the picking season, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of the afternoon, all of a sudden ICE comes and raids and everybody scatters. Mm. And these people, this is by design, don't get their last paycheck. So here we go. The owners make out again.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that call very much, sir. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. But again, you know, I know that people want to talk about other things as well. It doesn't have to be immigration. These are your airwaves. Use them before you lose them more than you already have. And by the way, I see we got a bunch of dudes on the line. Where are my lady callers at? Love to hear from you, too. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Harold, speaking of cannabis. Harold in Santa Barbara. Welcome to the show, sir. Oh, please turn down your radio, Harold. No, now I can't, so let me turn you up. Try again.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Now we're there. All right, what you got, Harold?
Well, I got that young guy. He hit the nail on the head. That's a good job. I think his name was John. But anyway, there's a marijuana war going on in California.
Mm.
And this raid on this farm was based on, number one, water. Number two was the fact the competition wants him out. And number three, they're trying to both use a socialistic approach. They're trying to nationalize the marijuana industry in California, but I don't think it's going to be nationalized. I think it's going to be privately controlled, and I wonder who's going to control it. That's my question.
Now, you don't have any evidence that this raid on this farm out in Ventura was, in fact, based on that. You're just speculating that could be a part of it and that ICE is somehow involved in that or that DHS somehow wants a piece of that. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in terms of documentation, the documentation comes from them. But thank goodness for ANI. They know how to edit it before the conveyor of the message. So, yes, there is evidence that I am correct.
Okay. I have not seen that evidence. I'm not challenging you. I just haven't seen it. So we'll keep our eyes out for it. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that call.
Thank you.
You bet. 818-985-KPFK. Let's go to Heck. Am I reading that right? Heck in Inglewood. Hey, Heck.
Hello.
Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Okay. I just want to point out some parallels in the American historical record to what's happening today.
Okay.
Leading up to the Civil War. Back in the day, the Southerners succeeded in passing the Fugitive Slave Act, requiring everybody, including Northerners, Yankees, to help the Southerners round up fugitive slaves.
Mm-hmm.
How much different is that from what's happening today?
Mm.
And at what point are all these crimes going to be stopped? You know?
Which crimes are you talking about? Are you talking about the crime of the federal agents rounding these people up without due process, without reasonable suspicion, et cetera?
Yeah, the legislation has to be passed to force these people to unmask, and it has to be assumed that anybody that is masked, even if they have FBI or ICE and carrying a badge, that they may not be, and they're probably just criminals, and they can't be allowed to continue to do this.
I think if they have masks,
have to be identified as to who they are.
If they are covering their face and coming in with military camouflage, guns blaring, everything else, I think we have reasonable suspicion that those are actually kidnappers, not ICE officials.
How many of them might be the thugs, the traitors that attacked the Capitol on January 6th?
Yep, of course. Probably many of them are, and it wouldn't surprise me if we're going to see more and more of them, because now, with the bill that Donald Trump signed after it was passed without a single Democratic vote a week or so on July 4, now they have got billions of dollars more at ICE, at DHS. They're vowing to hire 10,000 people. So, hell, you got 1,000 people who were convicted and then pardoned by Donald Trump alone who are probably happy to join.
The blue states have to get together to pass legislation in their states, federal law notwithstanding. They got to find some way to do it, to stop these people from doing this, and at the very least forcing them to not wear masks. And if you wear a mask, it has to be assumed you're a crook,
there
a
you
criminal.
Go. Thanks, Heck. Well said. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you for that call. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Al in Huntington Beach. Hey, Al, you're calling about the Epstein files?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What's up, brother?
Yeah. Hey, man. Ghislaine Maxwell, she's coming up for her hearing. And
Jeffrey Epstein's
to release the
friend and partner
Epstein files as evidence.
Yeah.
If not, Trump's going to start World War III. He's going to take out Khomeini because
Wait a second.
Leader.
Al, hang on a second. You're saying that Donald Trump is going to start World War III if Ghislaine Maxwell asks for the release of the Epstein files. Did I understand that correctly?
Well, if we don't get it to be released, so he loses his support in the Senate and the House, and we get to impeach him.
Uh-huh.
He's what's his name? Netanyahu is going to get him, convince him to attack Khomeini.
Uh-huh.
And the Ayatollah.
Wow.
And then once he does that, you know, he's probably got a dead man trigger.
All right.
Where he's going to attack Israel.
Who's going to impeach Donald Trump? Not Republicans in the House. They have the majority there.
Once the Epstein files come out, and they find out, you know, he was involved in all this child porn and child trafficking.
Okay.
All this other stuff, they're going to leave them in droves.
Okay.
And they will be forced to stop supporting him.
All right.
Even Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts, they can't back him up once they found he was a child molester.
Okay.
So we need to get the Epstein files released. It's all coming up right now in the Supreme Court with Ghislaine Maxwell. She knows where all the bodies are buried.
Okay.
And we have to put pressure on them to release the Epstein files.
Okay.
If not, she's gonna be released because Trump is saying that the Epstein files are fake.
She's not gonna be released unless I guess you're suggesting that she would be pardoned by Donald Trump. I don't even think he would be stupid enough to do that, and he is pretty stupid. Thanks for that call, Al. I appreciate it, sir. Let me go quickly down to Carol in Ventura. Hey, Carol, welcome to the broadcast. Were you anywhere near that raid last week at that farm?
Who are you talking to, Carol?
I am talking to Carol. Hi, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you. I live right here, Ground Zero, Ventura County, and I drive around. I've been driving around with a Power to the People bumper sticker on my back windshield and a peace sign, and a couple days ago it got bashed out with a hammer or a bat or something.
Really? I presume you weren't in the car at the time that was parked or something?
No, my car was parked at the complex where I live, and it has a gate because it's a high crime area, and they got in it. Somebody got in anyway and bashed it. And ICE is all over our streets here. Right, they're right on the. They come right on the street where I live. So I don't know who did it, but how dare I have a peace sign and a Power to the People sign?
Well, I guess that's because you hate America, Carol. Now, what are people in the community? Are they still on edge? How did they respond to that ruling on Friday that the federal officials have to knock it off at least for the moment in counties like Ventura?
Oh, good question. I'm not exactly sure. I can't tell you if they have stopped, because just a few days ago they were still at it, you know.
Yeah, okay. Do you feel safe out there, Carol?
I do not. I do not feel safe now, no.
And did you report the incident to the police that happened with your car? In other words, there's a lot of security cameras around it at apartment complexes and so forth. Did you report it? Is there any evidence on who done it?
Well, first of all, there are no security cameras at all where I live, and I don't know why. Hmm. But yes, I reported it, and, you know, nobody does anything.
Well, stay safe out there, Carol. I appreciate it. Stay safe and stay in touch. I'd like to hear if things do get a little easier over the next week or so since that ruling from that federal judge, or if we're sort of still in that same place that we have been now for so many weeks out here in Southern California, and that more and more people are beginning to understand around the rest of the country. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 818-985 KPFK. Got time for just one or two more here. Let me go to just Morris. Hey, Mo, how are you, brother? Hey, Morris, in Long Beach, I know that we tried to get to you last week and we couldn't. What do you got for us, sir? Oh, Mo, are you there, brother?
They don't like pedophiles. They do not like pedophiles. When people find, when them guys, other people be talking of it, when their rednecks find out that Trump has been messing with, like, as a pedophile, they're going after him. Like that guy that killed the Beatle guy, they make himself famous when he killed Paul McCartney, want to be famous. Trump going to have a bounty on him, okay? They're not tolerating that. They'll go with espionage violations. They'll go with being convicted of 34 crimes and not going to prison. They'll go with all that kind of stuff. They'll go with owning the federal government $100 million in taxes. But they're not going for this one, Bradley. You mark my words. Let me let you go, man, but they're not going for it.
Thanks, Mo. I appreciate that, brother. Well done in his 30 seconds. Thanks, guys. Thanks to all of our callers as well, including those that I could not get to. Thanks to our producer, Desiree Doyen, and our soundboard operator, Wendell Handy, and mostly to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program or any other since the beginning of time, you can download it for free anytime at bradblog.com. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you will find me at The Brad Blog. See you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.